It's BBC Radio Oxford. A very good afternoon. Now, one in four of us will suffer from a mental health issue at some point in our life. The Archway Foundation, a small Oxford-based charity, has started a new scheme called Time to Change. It finds creative ways to help people talk about mental health problems and, in so doing, reduces the stigma about the illness. They're working with Dance Mania Moving for Change at Oxford Brookes University and others, and some have joined me today to discuss a little bit more. So welcome to the show, Louise Longson, first of all, from the Time to Change project at Archway. Katrina Robinson and Tom Cox from Dance Mania Time to Change as well. Good to see you all. Welcome to the studio.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you're a little bit slow there, Tom. Now, Louise, I'm going to start with you, if I may, actually.
Okay.
Tell me about your background.
I was diagnosed as having quite severe clinical depression in the late 1990s, early 2000s.
So how did this start? I mean, how was there a trigger for this?
I don't know. I wish I knew. It's difficult to say because I think depression is one of those words that people kind of overuse, misuse, perhaps. Mm. All I can say is it's more than being a bit sad about something.
So you were a teacher at this time.
I was,
so
yeah.
What else was going on in your life?
Not a lot, really. It just seemed like things were normal. Looking back, I'd been working for probably, at that stage, probably about 9-10 years as a rape and sexual abuse counsellor. And obviously I'd heard some upsetting things, and I think that probably changed my view of people. Mm. And my view
as
of kind
would,
of life,
would.
I think, yes, indeed. So it might have been something to do with that. It could, I don't know. It could have been all sorts of things. All I know is that I stopped feeling hopeful. I stopped feeling happy. And I stopped feeling in control and optimistic about life, I think.
So what made you take stock and think, right, OK, I'm going to go and seek some help here?
I had a sort of relatively low-key anxiety attack in Sainsbury's, which was, you know, not anything to do
so
with
a low-key
the shopping.
One. What happened then?
I felt that my breathing was difficult. I felt dizzy. I felt cold, and then I felt hot, and I just felt really unusual. And sort of prior to that, I'd been kind of weepy for no apparent reason, shaky. And just felt I wasn't in control. Mm. And I thought there's something wrong with me. So I was concerned what it was. So I went to my GP. She was very good. We talked through things. She asked me various questions, did a questionnaire, and she referred me to a psychiatrist. Mm. And I went through the same sort of thing with that. And he said, I think you're quite severely depressed. Mm. And I cried.
So almost a relief, of course, to
yes,
know what's
it was.
To know what's wrong with you.
Absolutely.
And to have that diagnosis. Mm. But you've been diagnosed.
Yeah.
What happens next?
What happened next for me was that I went on some medication, which I know a lot of people don't like going down that route. But for me, it was really helpful. And it helped me. It kind of took the edge off, helped me cope.
Through all this time that you were being diagnosed, you were still teaching.
Yes.
Did you confide in any of your colleagues at the school?
I told everybody, and I told my students, because I didn't think it was something that needed to be hidden. Mm. And I got a sort of variety of responses from people, really.
Do you think that you know, that is a way of dealing with it and actually helping the process of coping and getting better when it is out in the open? People understand it and they can help and support you in the workplace?
I think I hoped that might happen. I just felt, I think, very strongly that, I mean, I'd been working, obviously, in counselling with people with mental health issues as a result of abuse. So I didn't think it was anything to be ashamed of. I didn't think it was anything that people shouldn't know about me. But as I say, the responses were kind of interesting in that some people were supportive and then some people that I probably thought would have been weren't.
And what problems did they have with your diagnosis?
I think
because it wasn't affecting your ability to do your job.
No, I don't think it was, but I think they probably thought it was because I think I changed. I went from being quite a sort of bubbly, gregarious person to being, you know, quite withdrawn, slightly kind of not as social as I had been. And I think people's responses, some people's responses were, you know, well, what's wrong with you?
So it was that lack of understanding.
Yes, I think so. And people stopped talking to me. It was kind of like there was this sort of elephant in the room and nobody wanted to acknowledge it. And so in the end, they just kind of left the room with me and the elephant in it. And it was difficult because my husband worked at the same college at the time. So they'd talk to him. They'd say, what's wrong with her? And what's she got to be depressed about, I think, was the question that, that a lot of people wanted to know the answer to, understandably, I suppose. But it was that, really. It was a sudden withdrawing of social contact, really, which makes you feel, well, certainly made me feel rather isolated, certainly lacking in confidence. And there was a small issue of a question of my competence.
Did you ever think that actually maybe I should quit?
No. No, I didn't. I the reason why was because the students were great. They were brilliant. And a number of them then spoke to me about their own issues, which is hardly surprising when, I mean, the statistics, one in three young people suffer from a mental health condition in this country, which, you know, so a lot of them had experienced something very similar. They were great.
These are astonishing figures, actually. As I mentioned before, you know, one in four people suffers from a mental health issue. And it's not just depression, it is anxiety as well, stress. So let's just talk about, you know, the mental health issues and sort of quash those misconceptions.
Oh, it's a massive spectrum. I mean, everyone's got mental health just like they've got physical health, and it can change. You can become unwell just like you can in your body. I mean, you're talking about a range of things from anxiety, depression, I mean, postnatal depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. There's all sorts of things.
Most of us aren't really equipped to deal with those issues.
No, I think most people, you know, don't, like I was saying about the depression, they don't necessarily know what they involve. They don't necessarily understand that you can actually manage these conditions. I mean, obviously, some are more difficult than others and much more difficult to live with.
So, Louise, you were managing with pills initially?
Initially, yes.
And how did, I mean, sometimes pills have side effects.
So, oh, yes.
So how were you on those pills? You know, did they sort of change? You said your personality changed.
Yes.
Were those the only side effects?
I had the worst side effect, two worst side effects for me were having a very dry mouth, which is kind of difficult when you're communicating for a living. So I was constantly swigging back water and dashing to the loo then during lessons. And rather nasty constipation, which was not good to live with.
They're a nice thing. But there are other ways.
Yes, there are.
And maybe people don't know so much about the other ways of dealing with mental health issues.
Yes, I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do in terms of sort of therapeutic interventions and just things that make you feel involved, things that can make you feel happier and better.
Now, you did change your life. You turned things around. Tell us about Time to Change.
Time to Change, it's a programme. It's a national programme and it's run by Mind and Rethink Mental Illness, so two big mental health charities. And it's funded by the Department of Health, Comic Relief and the Big Lottery Fund. And its remit, basically, is to fund projects and encourage individuals to run events, to find ways of reducing the stigma and therefore the discrimination that people with mental health issues often face.
You know all about that stigma, certainly. Well, you're hearing from my guest in the studio, Louise Longson. She's from Time to Change Project at Archway. Archway is, of course, the charity. In a moment,